Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. It's always great, especially on Labor Day. We're live on Labor Day, our 12th consecutive live Labor Day program that we've been doing since the first one would have been 1998, and so it's good to be able to be hanging out with you. Bert Folsom is our guest. Our good friend Dr. Bert Folsom is the historian in residence of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's also a professor of professor of history at Hillsdale College in the great state of Michigan. He's the author of many books, including The Myth of the Robber Baron and his brand new book, which is getting rave reviews all over the place, called New Deal or Raw Deal. He's our good friend, Bert Folsom. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. It's so good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And congratulations, Steve Forbes, in his column. Not, this isn't buried somewhere in the back of the magazine, folks. Steve Forbes, in his column, set out a half a page to recognize Bert's book, New Deal or Raw Deal. And Bert, I was very happy to read that column, I'm going to be very happy to tell Steve Forbes that we launched that book that he thinks so much of on this show.
Well, thank you, Jim, and you did launch it on the show. You were the first one.
Well, you know me. I'm always trying to glom on and get credit for other people's work, Bert. It's a wonderful book. And the other thing, though, that I do know, folks, I'm having a little fun here. But the truth is Bert's been my friend now and our friend for a long, long time, for almost 12 years.
And you know, Bert, almost all of those 12 years, I think we've
been
on Labor Day show.
You're an original member of the Brain Trust, exactly. But my point, the thing I wanted to say, though, was that you and I, you talked to me about the building that book, as you did, for years. You researched that book for a long time to make sure that it was accurate and that the facts were right. And so it was a labor of love, and I'm glad to see the success.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks.
You know, Bert, I was just talking before you got here. I do my little history of Labor Day thing every Labor Day, and I was pointing out that even though there was already Labor Day movements across the country and there were state Labor Days, there was never a federal Labor Day until President Cleveland overreacted to the Pullman strike, got himself and a bunch of other politicians into a bind during an election year, and in 6 days signed the Labor Day, National Labor Day, into law. I was just thinking, if we could go back and think about all the things that politicians have done in a knee-jerk reaction way just to get themselves out of a bind, just to get reelected.
Well, it didn't do President Cleveland much good. He lost 113 seats in the election that followed.
Yeah.
That's the worst loss in congressional election history.
Yeah. But still, he tried, and as a result, we got a law, and it was similar to the minimum wage law. It was not done for any particular altruistic reason, but it was a protectionist decision, wasn't it? Minimum wage.
It sure was. You're right, and it's interesting you make that point. Labor Day is not necessarily a decision of, hey, let's sit down and honor the working man and give him a day. It was, as you say, a reaction to the Pullman strike. And the same thing, the minimum wage was not a decision to say, we sure have some people that are not paid well, let's give them a higher wage. It was by New England, especially the textile operators, who were concerned about the Southern competition.
Well, and then a latter-day example is Sarbanes-Oxley, which was passed in 2004, I think, signed in less than 90 days as a reaction to the WorldCom, Enron, Tyco meltdowns.
Yes.
But the truth is, every one of those guys are in jail are the ones that are alive. They're in jail on based on laws that were already in force, and Sarbanes-Oxley did not prevent what we've just gone through. So, and that was just a political reaction to something. So we have to we need to have a healthy concern for the motivations of our politicians, I think.
They are, and it's sad that we are in a mode where something happens and you think, oh my gosh, just pass a law, and then the law has unintended consequences and it makes the whole situation worse. We need to be more alert, and I think that healthy skepticism is seen somewhat in the current health care bill.
There's no question about it. We're going to talk about some of these cause and effect things, folks. I think that's something we need to do. Every politician should have to take a course, a high-level course, and pass a test on understanding the phenomenon of cause and effect. We're going to take a quick break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Dr. Bert Folsom is our guest. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me on Labor Day, broadcasting live on Labor Day as we have now since the first one was 1998. So we're glad you're here and with us. Bert Folsom is our guest, Dr. Bert Folsom, the author of the new book, New Deal or Raw Deal, which is all about comparing what really turned out, what were the real results of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal. And by the way, folks, if you want to check out my website, it's smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll go there and check it out and use it to your advantage. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Bert Folsom, give us some, you know, we were talking, folks, about why I think it's good to have a healthy skepticism, a healthy, I won't say disregard. I don't want to be disrespectful, Bert, but I do think that it's good for America, for our citizens, to not be too enamored of politicians. And Bert, I saw this a year ago this month when Americans rose up against the TARP program that was being proposed in September during that crisis that we had last fall.
Yes.
I saw people rise up about that, and I said, you know what? I don't even care whether I agree with them or not. I'm just glad to see that many Americans voicing their opinion. And now, Bert, with this health care situation and people coming out, then we had the Tea Parties. I should mention that. In the intervening months, we've had all the Tea Parties across the country. And now the reaction to this, to the President Obama and the Congress's health care reform proposals, I don't even care whether I agree with these people or not. That's not important. What I'm happy about is that people are rising up and saying, you know what? We want you to know how we feel. That's a good thing for America, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. And especially, I think, in this case, when there's so much merit in what is being said by those people to their politicians. But in any case, it's good to see people concerned about issues and doing so on a basis that is not just purely self-interest,
mm-hmm.
on a basis that saying, I think that our country is moving in the wrong direction,
right,
and I want to protest that.
There's no question about it, and I'll tell you something. I think it's a loser. I think it's a fool's errand for any politician to disregard or disrespect what these people have done. You know, you've heard some of the comments,
yes,
that have been made about some of these people. I mean, I'm talking ad hominem comments.
Right. It's been surprising to call them, you know, a bunch of brown shirts and a bunch of yahoos.
Un-American, even.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a smart thing for a politician to do. They should be getting out in front of that parade and leading that parade and saying, you know what, I disagree with what these people are saying. I don't agree with what they're saying, but boy, in America, it did great that they can say it. That's what they should be doing.
Well, Jerry Brown, remember, on the tax revolt in California, mm-hmm. there was a grassroots revolt back in 1979.
When he was governor.
Yeah, when he was governor, and he had opposed it, and all of a sudden he just got right behind it.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's what they say. When you're being run out of town on a rail, just act like you're leading the parade.
But we haven't seen that, interestingly, as much this time. Now, we'll see what President Obama says this week, but a lot of it looks like more in the same.
Well, you were talking about, a minute ago, before we went to the break, you were saying you had some thoughts on the health care bill and how it was similar to some of the things we'd been mentioning with regard to government overacting and especially with regard to them not understanding the concept of cause and effect.
Right. I like your recent example, Sarbanes-Oxley. We had so many that happened during the New Deal that it becomes really a primer watching Franklin Roosevelt in action because, you know, you have low farm prices, so they pay farmers not to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right away, you know, only a college professor could have really come up with that. and the NRA, you know, businessmen have low prices. And so what do? And that's too bad. So what do? You prevent competition by forcing businesses to charge exactly the same price for their products so nobody can give a discount.
Right, right.
The politicians and the government almost always have strange solutions to very serious problems.
Well, they do. And the thing is, what amazes me, Bert, is how they think that everything they see is only one issue, and it has no effect on anything else.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they hit that nail with their hammer, thinking that all it's going to do is push that nail down into the wood, but they don't realize when the nail goes through the wood, it hits something on the other side.
Well, they think as long as it is on the other side isn't in their district, they're going to be all right.
Right.
At the basic level, in our early history, the tariffs were the way in which you had intervention that benefited special interests. And if you have a tariff on a product you're producing in your district, it imposes a tax on all the people who use that product.
Right.
But those people are mostly not in your district, whereas those who are producing the product are in your district.
I would like for you to explain something to me, Bert. I think, and if anybody can do it, you can. This may not be explainable, Bert, but I would like for someone to explain to me how the government providing health care for average Americans, working Americans, how that's going to add to competition in the marketplace. Can you explain that to me? Because that's what's being proposed about the public option, right?
Right. Well, it's not going to add to it because either the public option will be a highly competitive plan, and you're going to have congressmen putting it together,
yeah.
And you're going to have it so attractive, and the taxpayers paying so much to put it together that it will drive out the private plan.
It'll be the opposite of true, honest competition. It seems to me. I haven't figured it out yet. Tintail, right back with Bert Folsom after these messages. Happy Labor Day.
I will not believe that tomorrow the sun will
set. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being part of our day. Happy Labor Day, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I'm laboring hard for you, and we're having our annual Labor Day celebration, and couldn't do it without Bert Folsom. I don't know how many of these, Bert. I guess we've done just about every one of them together.
We've either done 11 or 12, Jim, but we've done a lot of them.
Since the beginning, since I started doing the show in 97, of course, we would have done the first one in 98. Bert Folsom, by the way, folks, is the author of New Deal or Raw Deal. That's his new book. It's outstanding. Bert, tell us where it's available and a little bit about the book.
Right. Well, it's available in Barnes & Noble or Borders. Or, you know, online sales are good, too. You get a nice discount on Amazon.com.
Yep. But give us a quick premise on the book.
Well, the idea is that Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, which was designed to get us out of the Great Depression, actually perpetuated the Great Depression. That massive spending that was undertaken in the 1930s simply did not erase unemployment, and that it was up at 20% toward the end of his second term in office.
Mm-hmm.
The highest. We've never had a time before the Great Depression where unemployment exceeded 18%. It was more than that toward the end of the second term.
But yet he's seen as the savior, the person who saved us from Hoover's. I mean, listen, my mother right now, we had a form of breakfast gravy that they called Hoover gravy. Because have you ever heard that term? They, my family called it Hoover gravy because they said that's all they had to eat in because of Hoover.
Well, part of the problem, Jim, is that we had tax rates on the top level that were up or almost 80%.
Yeah.
And what we discovered was that when you take entrepreneurs and you tell them that $4 out of every $5 you earn past a certain point have to be sent to Washington, they don't work very hard.
That's and folks, that's something to take to heart right now with what's in the, what's being proposed on many levels in our federal government. Bert, and you're also with Professor Hillsdale College, and that's hillsdale.edu.
Hillsdale.edu, right? And Hillsdale College takes no federal funds.
None of any kind, folks.
None of any kind. We stand alone, and we get a great student body. Because people from all over the nation, we have a national recruitment, simply want to have a place that is not politically
not
correct.
Encumbered, by political correctness in the government. Good for you guys. That's up in Michigan too, by the way. Bert, what would President Obama has 31 or 32 czars. This a czar for this, a job czar, a pay czar, a car czar, a Wall Street. I mean, on and on and on. What do you think? How does that strike you when you hear about that many czars? How does that strike you? And I'm trying to think about what would happen if Roosevelt had he did have people like these guys in his cabinet, but he didn't call them czars.
No, I think that was very clever on his part to avoid such a term. Some people have made the point there are more czars in America now than they've ever had in
Russia.
In Russia, but remember, czar is a shortened form of Caesar.
Yeah.
And Caesar was the one who ended the Roman Republic officially by declaring himself, at first, dictator for 10 years. Can you imagine a title like that? Then finally, dictator for life. And then in the chaos that followed his assassination, Augustus comes in and becomes the Roman Emperor. And so you have the end of Roman Republic. I think we would want to stay away from Caesar and czar as much as we possibly could, because it's totally antithetical to what the founders wanted. They created a constitution that had lots of division of power and complexity because they didn't want someone to have centralized authority and to be able to pass bills easily and quickly.
But these czars have no congressional oversight or approval, do they?
No, they don't. And that's part of why they're liked so much. They're sort of like executive orders. Remember Bill Clinton said, you know, a flick of the pen and it becomes law, kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that's nice, but it isn't so good for those of us who believe that bills emerge better after a long debate where we can get it right.
Bert, and got about 40 seconds, what do you think the future of labor unions in America is?
Well, I would have said, you know, a while ago that it was very bleak, but I'm not sure the card check is dead. It seems to be for the moment. I haven't heard any talk of retroactivity. It is this year, but as long as we can avoid card check, I think the future of labor unions is going to be bleak. And we see so much growth in small business in the last decade,
which has helped to reduce the requirement, the need for labor unions.
It has,
I think. Yeah. Hey, Bert, you have a website for the book?
I do. It's BertFolsom.com.
All right, BertFolsom.com, folks. New Deal or Raw Deal? It's an outstanding book, a great book that you'll enjoy reading. Hey, Bert, thanks for being here. Happy Labor Day.
Jim, thank you for having me. Always good to be with you.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news. Happy Labor Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.